Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Thanks to Earl for getting us up to date. Darius Geis released by Washington. Sam Fortier of The Post joins us at 11:30. He's been doing a lot of reporting on this since the story broke that Geis got arrested on Friday. Within hours, the team had cut him. There are a couple of other angles here that we need to hit on real quick before we get to the phones. And you can call us at 800-636-1067. Couple questions we're asking. Why do you think he was released so fast? And it really doesn't happen like this in sports. And specifically, it hasn't happened here in Washington. Second, what do you think about him being released immediately? Seemingly without much of an internal investigation by the team. I mean, they didn't come out and say that they did a lot of investigating. Their statement said that they talked to him. His attorney, for what it's worth, Geis's attorney, says that they did almost nothing to look into this, that they just separated themselves from him as soon as they could. Now, your thoughts on that, 800-636-1067. But, Danny, I think part of this conversation can be about Ron Rivera, too, in that really twofold. What did he think of Geis when they needed a running back and the pre-draft process played out in Charlotte? Do we know what he thought of Geis? Do we know if they decided he was a character concern or a big issue or didn't want to draft him? He had some type of book on this player, presumably, and if he didn't personally, his scouts, many of whom are now here in Washington, probably did. That could be a factor. The other thing is, well, Ron Rivera went through a really serious case with Greg Hardy in Carolina. And while he stood by Hardy for a long time, and I think kind of advocated on his behalf based on what he knew of Hardy, you learn from experiences, and maybe he feels like today, this moment, when he makes a decision on Geis, what he went through with Greg Hardy is in some way a factor. I think those two pieces of context could both be brought up fairly here.
Indeed. I mean, it's all part of it, right? I mean, the team had Christian McCaffrey, you know, when it's Geis' time to come out. But still, the story was they took Geis off their board based on factors that we're still not sure of. I mean, remember the cryptic, whatever the hell that was, there were these character concerns or there were some incidents or there was something that was going to come out that was going to, quote unquote, embarrass him. And that was the thing that caused him to slide, or a lot of teams took him off their boards entirely. We still never found out what that was. And some of it was immaturity, maybe speculated. He just liked to play Xbox, but still was a pretty fun-loving guy. I don't know the details, and I'm not really sure that matters all that much.
Where did you see they took him off their board? I've never seen that. I'm not saying you're wrong. I just haven't seen that.
I can't remember, honestly. I do remember reading that, so apologies if I've got that erroneous, but I do remember seeing that.
Send me that link if somebody has that, because I've never seen that.
If I can find it, yeah. So, but getting back to it, the only thing that I can think of that where this would make that much sense, even with the backdrop, even with the context of the recent Washington Post story detailing the abuse and poor treatment of female employees and reporters in Ashburn by this organization, is you got to go back. This first started in March. There was an incident in February, then March, then April. I believe the team knew something at some point. And the fact that they were blindsided by the extent of these things on Thursday, that's what did it. It tells me that they felt unprepared and didn't want to look as if they were just sort of a babe in the woods on this thing. So they took swift action because there is a timeline here and not wanting to go into it. I understand that, but I think there was something else going on in terms of either Darius not telling them or some kind of detail that needed to emerge, because right now all you have are accusations, and that's a very powerful thing in our country at this point, and it's very hard to stand by someone that's accused of something. I think you could do this at any point in time. I think you could wait for the facts to play out and get rid of him in due course if that's indeed how all these terrible charges went. But to me, this was too swift unless there's other information.
Yeah, so there were also three instances of this that have been alleged. That's a big deal, too. Mm-hmm. You know, there can be kind of miscommunication sometimes if something happens, or you have a situation where one time something happens, and I think it's maybe easier to feel like, well, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe Washington, as a staff, just said, okay, this happened in February, it happened in March, it happened in April, three straight months, three strikes and he's out in terms of these allegations. Now, they haven't been proven in the court of law, obviously, but it's not like it's a one-time thing. I've got a really good buddy who went through a horrific situation and, you know, was linked to a couple of awful things in a relationship. And, you know, if you knew the backstory, some of the words linked to this person for the rest of their life aren't fair and are ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And it was a one-time thing for a person who's lived their life really, really good, who, in a lot of ways, I think got screwed over, knowing the story the way that I do. It's easier, I think, to get screwed over in a one-and-done situation where it's a he-said-she-said thing versus three straight months where this person is going to the police and trying to get help, and maybe the team viewed it that way as well. 800-636-1067 is the number. Right, let's get to the phones. Why do you think they acted so quickly, and what do you think of the decision to do so? Jimmy's in Sterling on line one. You're on Grant and Danny. Jimmy, how are you?
Hey, what's up, Grant and Danny? Appreciate you guys taking my call.
Hey,
I do agree with the Redskins' reaction. They got to separate themselves, especially with the bombshell story that the Washington Post dropped. But if I can ask, I do have a question about why, or if Chase Young or Dwayne Haskins were in a similar situation, do they get cut as fast? And to answer my own question would be, Dwayne gets cut and Chase does not. I know you guys touched on that. I just kind of wanted your thoughts on that. Thanks.
So, appreciate the phone call. No, I don't think they do get cut. First of all, I'll tell you right now, definitively, confidently, Chase Young wouldn't have gotten cut. I don't think Dwayne Haskins would have either. And it is odd to even link names to something like this. So it's probably not fair to those guys. But to answer your question, I would say no. Running back is a more replaceable position. It's a guy who has played five times in 2 years and carried the ball less than 50 times. And someone just sent me, it looks like John Keim has a note on a tweet from a couple days ago where he said Carolina had taken Geis off the board before the 2018 draft, according to sources. So he's obviously plugged in with Rivera, among other people in the building now who are in Carolina. So that's pretty reputable. So that, I would say, is a big deal. But back to the call, do you think so, Danny? If it's Chase Young or one of the stars on this team, do you think they get cut so quickly?
I don't think so. And there's, again, there's no way to avoid this nebulous and something I thought was unfair cloud that was hanging over Darius Geis' head from all that he had done since coming here, as far as we knew, was be a great citizen and be a fan favorite and, you know, do fun stuff and cool things. Who knows what was going on behind the scenes? I mean, there have been guys here that everybody loved and loved the idea of, but it turns out they weren't doing the right things. I mean, see Sua Cravens as like kind of the best example. Then you find out details after the fact and you go, oh my goodness gracious, not to this extent in terms of charges, but you see my point. So I don't think necessarily those guys would have been. You're right, it's that room, because if you've got a Hall of Famer in there, you've got a couple other promising young players, a third-round draft pick this year, Bryce Love coming back, you've got Peyton Barber, you've got plenty of answers that are more than a guy that's only played five times in 2 seasons. But, yeah, it's hard to speculate on that, but I would guess no, that those guys that are more entrenched than focal points wouldn't have been cut.
Sounds like Jimmy's with me that the Washington Post story is a factor here. Let's go to Luke in Centerville on line two. Luke, you're on Grant and Danny on the Fan. What's up, buddy?
How are we doing, guys?
Hey, dude.
Doing well.
Thanks for taking my call. So, yeah, I'm just saying it's the wrong time for Geis, obviously, after the Post came out with the everything that is going on in the organization, they're going to try to be winning off the field and get rid of guys right away. But I just think it's funny that they can get rid of guys right away, but they can't make a statement after the post for 2 weeks and still don't have a name. Thanks for
Appreciate
taking my call,
you.
Guys.
Yeah, I think not having a name is the correct thing to do. So you're getting some zings in and you're allowed to. I disagree with that part. It did take a while for Dan Snyder to come out with his statement after the post story, but you'll remember Ron Rivera, who's the one that cut guys, spoke immediately that night, started texting reporters. He was the only guy on the team that had issued comments. So he's been pretty consistent in his reticence to get things done without waiting. 800-636-1067 is the number on G&D. Darius Geis released hours after being arrested. We're getting your thoughts on the Fan.
It has been it's been part of what I have to do. You know, as we look at the entire situation and circumstances of trying to reestablish who we are as a football team, there are going to be some decisions that have to be made that are tough and difficult. There's some things that, you know, we will continue to grow on and improve. And, it is hard, but, you know, the thing that I've got to do and the thing that we all have to understand and I try to tell the players is that when we decide to do something, we think about what we're going to do, we have to honestly think, is what I'm about to do truly going to help us? Is it going to benefit us? And how is it going to benefit us? And in this situation, in these circumstances, I think, you know, making those decisions to do what I believe is right, I'll continue to do. And at the end of the day, as I said, I'll own those decisions.
So you want to be the football coach in Washington, do you? Global pandemic cripples your first offseason. Name has to be changed. Harassment scandal. One of the most popular players in your locker room arrested, and you got to cut him. Ron Rivera dealing with a lot that doesn't have much to do with football so far since taking this job, Danny.
Yeah, if this is what you signed up for, be careful what you wish for, I guess. You know, I mean, wow. Again, I think you touched on it, and this is why, you know, the idea and the concept of a quote-unquote coach-centric approach, whatever that means exactly, sounds great. You give the coach a lot of power. What part of this was about when to blitz, you know, Thomas Davis? What part of this was about who's going to start at left guard? You know, it's hard enough to be a football coach. You add all this other stuff in, good Lord, what a gong show.
Let's go to the phones, 800-636-1067. I guess a quick refresher for people just jumping in their car. I am not surprised at all that Geis got released as fast as he did, as unprecedented as that is around here and unlikely as that is for teams in sports, specifically in the NFL. I think there's a direct correlation between a couple of weeks earlier in the story in the Washington Post and the way the club acted. The fact that this was also three allegations, and it's all kind of in one umbrella, I believe it's the same couple, but you know, three allegations over 3 months on Darius Geis made it easier for them to do this than had it have been a domestic violence dispute on one evening that Loudoun County was looking into. But I think that this is bigger picture, I guess, societally, if I'm allowed to go there, and I know it's not this football team's job to fix societal problems. We're in a dangerous area, a reckless area where due process is dissipating, it feels like, all the time, and the allegation can be as damaging sometimes as a conviction. Now, that doesn't mean I'm sitting here standing by Darius Geis and saying he did nothing. I am saying what used to be very okay to say for a long time, Danny, which is, I don't know what happened yet. We're going to find that out. That's the point of a court hearing. That's why he's allowed now to try to explain his side of the story. And I know that Washington is not a judge, right? They are not a court. They're a company. And if you or I get in trouble and get a DUI or something, our company can fire us the next day, and they're allowed to do that. Just like Washington's allowed to cut Darius Geis. They didn't violate a rule. But the question is, are you surprised that they did it that way? My answer is no, and I guess I've got two reasons why I think they did it. Number one, crowded running back room, guy that's not available very often, position that is fairly replaceable in this league. Number two, the last 3 weeks at the park dating back to the post story about harassment. I think if he's somebody else and that story doesn't happen, maybe he's still on the team right now.
The only other thing I would add to that, I think both those points are dead on. The only other thing that I would add is these incidents alleged to have taken place starting back in February. I think the team was loosely aware of something and then felt blindsided by this, and that they didn't feel very good about that, so they reacted swiftly and more harshly maybe than the naked eye would have indicated. They should have.
Ann is in Vienna on line 3. Ann, thank you for the call. You're on Grant and Danny. How are you?
Hey there. I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good, Ann.
Doing well.
Good. So I don't think if this was a year ago, he would have been cut so quickly. I think there are a lot of things going on here. New coach, the allegations from a couple of weeks ago. But I also think, especially given that it was multiple circumstances and investigated by multiple police departments, I don't think that they just go out and arrest high-profile people that have high-powered attorneys without corroborating evidence, probable cause. And I think that the team was probably made aware of some of that with the indictment or whatever had come out after the initial allegation, and they had stated they would review it with him. So I think that they acted appropriately, or I hope so. but certainly given the circumstances over the last couple of weeks and going into sort of this unknown COVID era, I think they made the right choice.
Thank you, Ann. The only thing that it's hard to disagree with any specifics of what she just said, because she's right about the logistics in the background, GP. My only red flag or reservation is that's a dangerous precedent to set, right? Where, well, they're not just going to arrest anybody. Again, they didn't just arrest Reuben Foster. There seemed to be a lot of smoke there, and he was exonerated. Now, who knows if he did something or not, but just I want to be sure that we know everything. An arrest does not equal guilt. Charges do not equal guilt. And it may very well be he did something incredibly despicable. And if so, let's be rightfully upset then. It's just hard for me to get on board with every part of that. I understand her sentiment, right? Where we are, what's happened, two different police departments, or the sheriff's department in Loudon's case, aren't just doing this for fun. This isn't just like a fun exercise that they're just going to, you know, investigate this and cuff and stuff somebody for their own amusement. There's obviously a lot that goes into that. I'm not trying to disrespect their efforts or their work. Simply saying that, well, because he's arrested, that means that's the end is a dangerous line of thinking to me.
Yeah, one thing I think that, and I won't say it changed my mind because my initial thought when they cut him, I was pretty adamant and strong about how I think that's kind of a rush to judgment. I go way less hard with that right now because there have been the three separate instances that have come out. And when we first heard about this, he's arrested for domestic violence and the team cuts him. Then you find out, well, the arrest came after these reported incidents to another police department over 3 months, three different times. And while, yes, you still have to prove that he did it, when you're talking about three times when someone went to the police, very different than maybe the one time where something got out of hand and maybe two stories are conflicting or there's a miscommunication or something like that. It's not like some charge where you get pulled over with marijuana in your car and the team cuts them right after that. You're talking about three different instances, allegedly, where domestic violence took place and somebody reported it to the police. Albeit, it seems like in the same relationship. We'll talk with Sam Fortier of the Washington Post. He, along with two of his colleagues, have been doing all the reporting on this. Next on Grant and Danny. There's a lot going on in sports. Plenty of huge stories to get into, including college football seemingly going to be pushed to the spring. Not going to have a fall season. We'll give you the latest on that in just a few. But here in D.C., the news that shook the city from a football standpoint was the release of Darius Geis on Friday after his arrest. The Washington Post has been all over this story. Three of their reporters working on it, including Sam Fortier, who joins us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline right now. So, Sam, take us back to Friday as you guys find out about this and get tipped off ahead of everyone else. And what work went into it? You even had a reporter on the scene to snap a picture as he turned himself into police. And just give us all the details here.
Yeah, so we actually heard about this an anonymous tip on Thursday afternoon that it might be coming down that day. You know, you kind of chase things and vet it out, and you hear it's not going to happen that day. But then things pick up back again on Friday afternoon. You know, we hear about it probably about a half hour before he turns himself in at the Loudoun Adult Detention Center. So we're able to get a reporter out there, and we're able to kind of put the story together from there. That's kind of how this came together.
Sam, why did the Washington football team react so quickly in this case? And, you know, not all decisions were Rivera's. Some happened before he was here, but they didn't act as quickly in other cases. Why do you think they moved so swiftly in this one?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think, you know, there's a little bit that's still unclear there. I mean, in the team statement posted on the website, you know, they found out about it on Thursday. And it didn't seem like they were going to take action maybe until they heard on Friday there were multiple charges filed against Darius. You know, we asked Ron Rivera this morning, hey, what is the difference between Darius Geis, you know, multiple charges against him, and Cody Latimer, who was arrested in May, you know, on gun charges and a couple other charges? You know, why let the process play out for Cody if you're not going to for Darius? And Ron did not want to get into specifics. But my sense was the nature of these charges, domestic violence charges, obviously, you know, he wants to reset the culture for the team. We've heard that 1,000 times. To me, and there might have been some extenuating circumstances with why Cody Latimer reacted the way he did. So it seems as though, you know, that sort of the nature of the charges was the difference between letting the judicial system do its thing and not letting that happen and deciding to release guys right away.
Sam Forte of the Washington Post. So you think the number of charges, not the fact that it happened potentially three times, you know, three instances, so to speak, because to me that's what jumped out at me. You know, you could have, and I'm not certainly making it a case for the guy, but there could be a situation where there's a night where there's two conflicting stories and three or four charges come out or whatever. This was over basically a three-month span from what you guys reported that this happened allegedly three different times.
Yeah, I think the multiple cases or the multiple accusations certainly, I think, played a role in this, just because if it's a repeated pattern of behavior or even alleged repeated pattern of behavior, I mean, that's certainly more concerning. And I think one of the other things that I did not realize, and certainly I'm not saying this would have happened, but, you know, when the felony strangulation charge comes out, Brenda Tracy, an advocate for you know, sexual assault and domestic abuse survivors in college football specifically, you know, she's really kind of made a name in that area. She pointed out that strangulation, you know, men charged with strangulation are seven times likelier to ultimately, you know, kill a person that they're domestically abusing with that charge. So obviously, I mean, when you're talking about felony strangulation, that's a very serious charge, and I think that is another reason why maybe you saw swifter action in this case.
Sam Fortier with us covers the Washington football team for the Washington Post. Sam, it's impossible to look at this case without sort of reflecting back to that weird nebulous cloud that hung over Geis, affected his draft stock. We've seen that Ron Rivera, when they were in Carolina, didn't have Geis towards the top of their board, maybe took him off altogether. What about that kind of plays into this here in terms of what the team knew about his background and what kind of citizen was he for the squad? All we saw in public was a fun-loving guy that fans loved. What was going on behind the scenes?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's sort of unclear sort of what role Ron Rivera's apparent discomfort with guys during the pre-draft process played in this particular situation. But as far as who he was when he was here, I mean, people who know him better, people who've been around this team more than me, say, you know, in the locker room, he was always, you know, upbeat. He was kind of that guy that you saw on Twitter, you know, come play video games with me, like, let's go bowling, you know, kind of a very gregarious guy. But obviously, it does seem as though there was other things happening off the field at home. But as far as I know, that was not seen in the locker room or noticed by any reporters that I know.
Sam Forte of the Washington Post on Grant and Danny. So, look, now we get into the opinion part of this, right? You're talking about the reporting that you guys did. And now, as a guy that covers the team, I just want you to analyze this as best you can. It's a tough question here, but if the Washington Post story that you guys had a few weeks ago doesn't come out about all the harassment that is going on in that workplace that they're trying to clean up, does he still get cut immediately, do you think?
That is a tough question. I don't know. I think that when you analyze kind of the culture of the team and what Ron Rivera knows that he needs to do. I think you have certainly voices in that building that might have affected this process. I mean, obviously, you know, Julie Donaldson, formerly of NBC, she joins and in a story, you know, she detailed that she is a survivor of domestic violence. And I think that when you really look at this thing and you say, okay, this organization has a lot to do in terms of how it treats women. I think all of those things, you know, kind of build momentum in terms of taking action. And I think you might have seen that in this case. And obviously, they were really quick to act this time.
Sam, what did the team know and when? I know Rivera didn't want to go into that on his conference call this morning, but the timeline, I think, is very key to this thing. It sounds like they just learned Thursday and reacted Friday. Did they know anything, have any inclination before now?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question, and I would love to know. I asked Ron this morning, what was the timeline? What did you know and when? And he really did not want to get into it. So our understanding, based on the statement they released, was that Thursday they learned of a potential domestic violence allegation. It kind of sounds like they might have heard the same thing that we did. Okay, this is going to happen. We don't know what it looks like. We don't know what the charges are, but this is going to happen. And then Friday, when it comes out that there are multiple charges, that's why they make the decision so quickly. They might have known before us. But that is really the best timeline that we have. We don't know if they knew of anything prior to Thursday. And at least from their statement, it seems like they're saying they did not.
What happens if he gets exonerated and charges being dropped or, you know, something not going to trial or whatever? That doesn't always mean someone didn't do something, particularly, you know, people with money and power or whatever. But if he gets exonerated or it turns out for whatever reason that he comes out of this clean, will the team look bad or do you still think it'll be viewed as they did the right thing? Because Rivera spoke about that today when he met with you guys.
Yeah, I think if Darius guys is exonerated, then, you know, I think the team will take it lumps. And Ron Rivera said today, you know, he told his team yesterday, he got the team together and he explained why they made this decision. He felt like it was in the best interest of the organization. And if they look bad, if they don't benefit from this, or, you know, if he goes somewhere else and hurts them in the future on the field, he said, that's, you know, my decision and I'll take that. It's on me. But I think that just with the multiple allegations, I think that's why Ron Rivera made the decision. And you know, I think he's content to let this play out. And I think he's comfortable where he's at right now.
Sam, thank you, buddy. Really appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Of course. Thanks for having me, guys.
Our double play is next on Grant and Danny. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. We are going blitzing all around the Beltway with the teams you care the most about at noon o'clock. And guess what? We got a great college football guest today at 1 to talk about whether or not there's going to be a season. Former Georgia Bulldog, played in the XFL this past year. Aaron Murray talks college football for a living now. We'll be on the show in about an hour and 15 minutes right here on The Fan.
It is Grant and Danny for our friends at Window Nation. They're excited that August is here because anniversary. It's their anniversary, and to help celebrate, they're giving you 50% off all window styles. This year, it's extra special for Window Nation as they just installed their 1 millionth window. You don't luck your way into that. Why does this matter? Well, experience matters, especially in the window industry, and Window Nation literally installs the equivalent of a new window every single minute, GP.
Each installer leads an average of 16 years worth of experience in installations, which is amazing. Window Nation installs 50 times more than the average window company. In fact, Window Nation celebrating their anniversary right now, and you can get 50% off all style windows. Plus, they're going to defer your payment for 2 years with no interest. Call now for a free estimate and see why over 100,000 homeowners chose Window Nation like Danny and I did. Window Nation, we did it. You can do it. 866-90-NATION. 866-90-NATION. Or try windownation.com. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. The Nats on the road for the first time all season tonight. They are playing the Mets at Citi Field. A 7:10 first pitch. You can hear the game right here on 106.7 The Fan. Speaking of games heard on this station, we got playoff hockey coming your way starting on Wednesday when the Caps are in action late afternoon. They will then play on the weekend deep into the evening at 8 o'clock for a puck drop. But Wednesday, game one, Caps Isles, the reunion with Barry Trotz, which is going to be amazing. You'll hear their games, baseball games, both on the Fan and the Drive over on 94.7. But right now, let's get to our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports.
So you know how you ask me, like, towards the end of the show, like, what are you up to tonight? Or what are you up to this weekend? And I never know. It's just treading water and survival. Well, sometimes good solutions present themselves, GP. Let me give you an example. So my oldest son, was in camp this past week, right? And some of our good friends, their kids that are close in age to my eldest, were also in that same camp, right? So other friends of ours were saying, hey, why don't we wait a little bit before we hang out because, you know, you were in a big environment and, you know, let's wait a little bit for safety and precaution. And that's fine. We respect everybody's wishes. Well, you know who we are eligible to hang out with is the people whose kids were in the same place as ours. Does that make sense? Right? Trying to you know, maintain protocols here. So we're making plans Saturday morning. Hey, maybe we can come see you guys this afternoon. We'll bring you some lunch, etc. They said, well, Saturday's kind of busy. Why don't we plan for Sunday? Okay, no problem, right? Sunday morning, I get a text. Hey, my boss is giving us his house in Annapolis for the week. Why don't you guys come here? What? And so we did. And it turns out that this is on the mainland side of the Bay Bridge. And you veer off just before you get to downtown. You drive through a nice little neighborhood. And they're right on the Michael Bay. They're right on Canadian outfielder Jason Bay. And there's its own little private beach. The kids ran their butts ragged in and out of the water, get themselves all exhausted, and we get home and have an unbelievable and successful day. So here's my conclusion, twofold. One, excellent. Our friends bailed us out. Christian bailed us. It was enormous. It was perfect. It was awesome. Everybody had a great time. Two, everybody sleeps on Annapolis. Everybody sleeps on Annapolis. It's not that far. It's not easy. It's not close. It's not an everyday thing where you'd want to commute back and forth between the capital of our nation and the capital of Maryland. But I'm telling you, it's not that far, and there are plenty of little gems. Every time I do something in or around Annapolis, I go, I like it here. I like Annapolis. That's my take.
Annapolis is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
It is that place by definition. You're never really there. You don't actually go because it's just far enough that mm-hmm. you never feel like, let's go to Annapolis right now. But when you get there, it's amazing. You love it. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous, and there are plenty of things to do. I don't know about COVID times in Annapolis. Like, what's open, what's not.
Right.
But normal spring evening Annapolis, marvelous.
Yeah, we went downtown at some of the restaurants, like Chicken Ruth's Deli, which has, like, the biggest milkshake in the world that Daniel Day-Lewis would be proud to consume. I mean, we're, like, you know, in one of the neighborhoods. So I don't know if it's technically Annapolis or, like, Annapolis adjacent, like one of the suburbs. But there's so many waterfronts because of kind of how that the inlets and the different bays and where the water goes. There's a bunch of places that are right there on the water. It was gorgeous. We look out the front door, and there's the Bay Bridge. It's right there. Amazing.
At the risk of pulling a Grant Florio here and being like a COVID police,
ooh,
I've got a couple follow-up questions. How ooh. Many people were in this house with you? How many families?
Besides us, half of one. So it was my wife. And one of the kids was not there. They were at a birthday party. So it was my buddy and two kids plus my wife and me and two kids.
Oh, that's not bad. So it was a total of like seven people.
Yeah, and we spent the whole time
outside. Three adults.
We were outside the entire time. And we came in to change and use the bathroom, but it wasn't one of those we're sitting in close proximity shooting droplets all over each other.
Yeah, so I think that plays then. Even if I'm trying to be Grant Florio, it's seven people, right? And mm-hmm. it's mostly kids. Now here's the thing. Kids are interacting. And I don't know how you stop that. I don't know if you can or should stop that. It's been a lot mm-hmm. of months. Kids are getting going stir crazy. So if it's going to happen, it's probably going to happen. Like whether you have seven people in that house or you have 23
right.
people in that house. If a kid at the camp that your kid was at or their kid was at had COVID, then a lot of the kids are probably going to get COVID. Kids are doing better, I think, according to the numbers than a lot of people. But, yeah, I don't know how you stop that. I mean, at some point, like, it does sound better to just say kids shouldn't be interacting. That's just a hard thing to do for going on half of a year.
Yep.
Good luck with
that. And kids at the age that ours are, it's essential.
It's pertinent.
It's essential. It absolutely is. And I mean, any study, any doctor, any psychologist, anybody worth their salt in terms of child development, you can ask a 17-year-old, although it's hard, to be a little bit more mature. Not a 6-year-old. They are learning how to behave as human beings. And them being
and
mad at their parents
with other human
every
beings.
Day. Yeah, and every day they're mad at their parents is not, it's not tenable. This is not tenable. So, you know, you try to be smart. You try to be
pick
judicious and thoughtful. Yeah, and we picked a spot, and it was great. Great.
Good for you guys. That's good. Yeah, and Annapolis is great.
It's so good.
I haven't been there in a while, but again, it's just there's a few spots that are just far enough. Like another place like that for me is out past Leesburg and Middleburg or like Purcellville, those types of areas.
So
where
wonderful.
When I go there, it's my favorite thing in the world. I love it so much. I want to live there, but I never do it. So I talk about going there all the time.
Talk
and then once every several months or so, I end up there. Grant and Danny on the Fan, your Beltway Blitz is next. The teams in town you care the most about, jammed into one segment.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.